Welcome. So today is the 7th of October, 2008. And Mercury's still retrograde for another week till the 15th. There's not a lot happening in the sky right in immediate time here, like in the last few days. Are you at all interested in the presidential election in America? Or is that something that you're interested in? Because I just did an article on it, more or less predicting what may happen. So I thought I would read that. But November 4th. The U.S. presidential election. I'm actually talking about it, obviously, from an astrological point of view. The American presidential election is upon us, and November 4th will reveal who the next president of the U.S. will be for the coming 4 years. In this article, I will endeavor to analyze the birth charts of the two candidates, John McCain and Barack Obama, and offer an indication of who is likely to be the winner according to Vedic astrological calculation. I will reserve my official prediction for a week before the election. John McCain. I have not been able to locate John McCain's birth certificate. His birth details are given as August 29, 1936 at 9 a.m. Though I cannot confirm this time as being accurate, the events of his life seem to fit with this chart for the most part. McCain has Mercury exalted in Virgo on the ascendant. Mercury also rules Virgo. So not only is Mercury in its own sign, but it happens also to be exalted in Virgo. That's the only planet that is exalted in its own sign. All the other planets are exalted in signs belonging to a different planet, except Mercury. And if you have an exalted planet on the ascendant, house of self, you're good to go. Your life's pretty much sorted. It's just great. Or if you have the planet that represents you, the self, in its own sign, again, you're good to go. This is a very powerful position indicating a career of great success and prominence. He will inevitably rise up to positions of power, authority, and achievement without too much difficulty. Further, he will distinguish himself in these positions through his efforts and authority. Exalted Mercury means he is an excellent communicator. He has a way of winning people over and influencing them through his words. Though not a great public speaker, and he isn't that great a public speaker. Well, the second house is the house.
So Mercury is your intellect.
He's got a good intellect. He would have a grasp of facts and a lot of details. Exalted Mercury gives you a lot of information and the ability to retain. Strong Mercury means very bright, very retentive. The second house is the house of speech. And in the second house, he has Ketu. So, in Libra. So, you know, he's very good at influencing others. But, you know, in terms of, he's not, Barack Obama is a great public speaker. You know, very, well, we'll get to that. Though not a great public speaker, he's able to generate consensus among opposing parties and deliver bills and legislation that actually become law. As you probably know, this is a rare achievement in the U.S. Congress. They sit around and do a lot of nothing. And they, because it's bipartisan, because they only have really two parties, the other parties don't stand a chance, it's this constant bickering. That's the reality. Whereas in Ireland, England, Canada, France, I think, Germany, you have to, if you don't have enough a majority, then you have to have a coalition with other parties. So then your party becomes, your majority becomes a bipartisan majority. And you can't run amok. In the U.S. Congress is only ever two parties.
So they're always black or white.
It's always black. And they constantly bicker and try to sabotage the other one for political reasons. So the people are never served. And I know this because I lived there for 20 years. The major period of Mercury begins for John McCain on May 2, 2009 and runs for the next 17 years. Overall, this should be the most effective and successful period of his life thus far. Sounds good. If he becomes president, he would be in a tremendous period of karmic success and accomplishment, which would most certainly benefit the nation. If he does not win the election, he will still remain an effective senator with even more power and prestige than he currently enjoys. McCain has his son in Leo at birth. Sun rules what sign? Leo. So sun is in its own sign. Again, very powerful when the planet's in its own sign, yeah. This is a sign of kingship, power, and position, Leo. He gravitates toward positions of management and authority. He feels he belongs in such positions, and his standards, performance, and expectation would be higher than that of most people. He would have strong convictions and beliefs and would be a hard man to dissuade from his principle and resolve. From his principles and resolve. However, the sun in the 12th house of the chart indicates an inherent weakness regarding his ability to be an effective manager. The sun is the planet that represents management and authority and administration and executive ability and kingship. Sun in Leo, very good. Sun in 12th house, exactly the opposite. So what's what it'll be like? You'll catch him on different days. You see, that's how it usually plays out. He will at times feel insufficient, inadequate, and insecure. He will question his own direction and self-worth. This is primarily due to a lack of validation from the father figure in childhood. Son is the father. When the son's in the 12th house, the father is not present. He's not there. So that means he's either not there physically or he's not there emotionally or communicatively. He may be sitting in the chair and not be there and be miles away, you know. Interestingly, this is the exact position of Bill Clinton's son in his birth chart. Sun in Leo in the 12th house. Sun in the 12th house does not necessarily result in effective management ability. This is not the sign of a take charge person. He will waffle and prove indecisive at times. Instead of leading, he will first want to see which way the wind is blowing regarding voter opinion. Then he will likely choose the road down which the most favorable voter winds are blowing. You may find it fascinating to know that Jimmy Carter and George W. Bush, the current president, also have Sun in the 12th house in their birth charts, but in different signs. It should be obvious that those two provided little or no leadership, and that their management styles are more an example of what not to do than what to do. Isn't it curious that the U.S. has had so many presidents with Sun in the 12th house? Very little true leadership comes from such persons. McCain has Mars in the 11th house in Cancer. 11th house, very, very strong house. If you could have every planet in the 11th house, you'd have it made. The more planets that are in the 11th house, the better, because it's the house of success and achievement and realization and wealth and profit and gain and power and influence and fulfillment of desires and goals and objectives and wishes and hopes and dreams. And that's the 11th house. So if you got something there, you're doing good. Okay, so McCain has Mars in the 11th house in Cancer. This gives him a strong warrior nature, which he clearly has, which he clearly had as a military pilot and POW, prisoner of war. However, since Mars is debilitated in Cancer, that's Mars's weakest position, Cancer. If a planet is exalted in one sign, strongest, it is debilitated in the opposite sign. A planet can be exalted only one sign out of 12. A planet can be debilitated in only one sign out of 12. So Mars is debilitated. Therefore, he has a tendency to lose his temper or overreact at times to people and circumstances. He's known for that. Not a great position for tact and diplomacy. McCain has a really strong Saturn placed in its own sign of Aquarius. Saturn is the planet of longevity and lifespan. People are worried about McCain dying in office. They keep saying, oh, the guy will drop dead. And Sarah Palin taking over. It doesn't seem likely that this will happen. He has a really long life, according to his chart. Therefore, I think he will easily finish his term, if elected. If he becomes president, he will find that his greatest challenges and difficulties will arise in his Mercury K2 period, from September 2011 until September 2012. It shares similarities with his Rahu K2 period in 1967 when he was shot down over Hanoi during the Vietnam War and broke both arms and both legs. Following this, he became a prisoner of war. I obviously do not expect him to be shot down again, but he would encounter strong congressional and political opposition at that time. Yes, K2 in the 10th house. 10th house is your career and professional achievement. So what will happen then is either there could be a scandal, or his reputation could suffer big time, something fairly big. You know, if you worked for a company, you could easily be fired or lose your position, or be at loggerheads with the boss. Or there could be somebody there in a position of authority who's envious of you or feels threatened by you and is working behind the scenes to undermine you and get rid of you. That is also classic K2 stuff. Could be any of that. Or it could be a health issue. You know. Barack Obama. Barack Obama's birth certificate is available online. And the chart seems very accurate according to the events of his life. With Saturn on the ascendant in Capricorn, it is indicated that he may be tall and thin. He is also a man marked for destiny. Abraham Lincoln also had Saturn on the ascendant, but in the sign of Scorpio. He's also tall and thin. Yeah. Also a man of destiny. Clearly, if Obama is elected president, he would be considered to be the first black president of the U.S. and a man of destiny. I wonder why they refer to him as black, since he is actually mulatto, half black and half white. He is never regarded as white. I guess it's all about perception, after all. That's how they never even think twice about it. He's a black man. No, he's not. If you are what your mother is, you know how they say you're what your mother is? Are you aware of this?
No.
If your mother's Jewish and your father's Catholic, you're Jewish. So whatever your mother is, that's what you are. You know? That's kind of standard. And anyway, his mother's white, so that's my point. Along with Saturn on his ascendant, Obama also has Jupiter. This combination indicates a very wise man, a soul who has a more developed consciousness and awareness. He often speaks words laden with great insight and import. Now, I say that here, but then I say something a little bit different later. But that's true. However, Jupiter is debilitated and in its weakest position. Jupiter is debilitated in Capricorn, in the sign of Capricorn. And it is also considered to be afflicted in a negative manner by the proximity of Saturn. Because Saturn is very close to Jupiter. Saturn is a natural, malefic or malevolent planet. Saturn, Mars, Rahu, Ketu. Mischief makers. So when you're next to them, they're going to
drag you down.
Since Jupiter represents finances and economic management, this does not bode well for his ability to run the economy in an effective or stable manner. There will be many ups and downs economically under his management. Well, this is already happening before he's even in there, right? Obama's sun sign is Cancer. And the sun is placed in the seventh house of the chart. This is a neutral position for the sun. Neither strong nor weak. But from the moon position, we find the sun in the third house, which is very strong for leadership. So, I think he will be a capable and competent leader. It is certainly much better than Sun in the 12th house. Cancer gives him great compassion and empathy for people and their circumstances. He can truly feel for people. Sun in Cancer is mild and gentle, which means he's likely not to overreach out of ego and the need for control, which is something Clinton did repeatedly with Sun in Leo. When people have Sun in Leo, they can be full of themselves and run, you know, can develop a sense of great self-importance. Usually they're very competent and capable. So they sort of can see that they're ahead of everybody else. And a lot of times it's true. They're more capable. But then they sort of get caught up in their own ego. And then other people see them as arrogant. Sometimes they're arrogant. Sometimes they're just confident. There's a difference. Obama's concern is for the people, not himself. having the sun in the seventh house, the house of marriage, shows us clearly who rules the roost in the marriage. And it isn't him. This indicates that his wife is very capable, competent, and somewhat overbearing. There was a little piece, a little video clip they showed on TV, at home with the Obamas kind of thing, you know. The wife and the two daughters. You know, I have said for years that whatever gender you find with the children, whatever, who's more girls or more boys, that's who's the strongest of the two parents.
Usually works.
See, if you got mostly girls, it's the mother that's the strongest. If you got mostly boys, it's the father. I can't tell you this, that it's scientific. It's an observation I've made for many years, and it seems to be true. They got two daughters. But even the little girls were pushing him around and listing his faults to the interviewer. And that he comes in, he leaves his bag in the middle of the hall, and people are tripping over it. And Mom said, you need to be picking up your bag and putting it away. Like this, you know, we're saying, oh my goodness, you know. And the next time you saw Obama on TV, he said, so, well, how do you think that went to interview with the family? He said, well, on second thought, that wasn't such a good idea. We won't be doing that anymore. This guy is like persona non grata in his own home. He'll be the president, he'll go home, and they'll take the rolling pin after him, you know. So, yeah, I do think that's true. Obama also has exalted moon in Taurus. His moon is exalted. This makes him a real populist and highly popular with the people. It is all about the people as far as he is concerned. Moon in Taurus is largely the source of his magnetism and charisma.
He's really loving now, wouldn't he?
Yeah. It's a real nice quality. Obama's current planetary period is major Jupiter and minor moon. His exalted moon in Taurus is in his fifth house, a house of victory and political achievement. He is in a very strong position to win the election and is clearly ahead in the polls at the time of this writing, which is 3 days ago. John McCain's current planetary period is major Saturn and minor Jupiter. Though also a strong period for him, it does not appear quite as strong as Obama's exalted moon in Taurus, minor period. I believe Obama has the astrological edge at this point, but it is still too close to call decisively. So I will reserve my final prediction for the week before the election. Because, you see, things can change. That's why you do question charts. Because question charts, you can look at this and see this is the general trend. But things can change. So you can do a question chart and see that it points in the other direction. Now for the most compelling observation in my mind. We all know what is happening to the economy and financial institutions at present. I have written about this, but with reference to 2009 in that article that's on the website. It appears that we are in for some really difficult times, economically and financially. If this is the case, then it is most likely to show up in the new president's birth chart, because he is the guy that's going to have to deal with it. The responsibility and subsequent blame for the misery and malaise will fall upon his shoulders. Barack Obama is about to go into 3.5 years of two of the most difficult planetary periods of his life. His Jupiter-Mars period will run from March 2009 until February 2010. This will be followed by his Jupiter-Rahu period, which will run from February 2010 until July 2012. 3.5 years. Both Mars and Rahu are placed in Obama's 8th house in his birth chart. This is the house of obstacles, difficulties, reversals, failures, and death. Mars is situated at 29 degrees of Leo on the cusp of the sign, which further weakens the planet and brings out his more negative traits. Mars rules his 11th house, the house of profit, income, success, and achievement. Along with Rahu, Mars aspects his 2nd house, the house of accumulated wealth and financial success. These negative influences from such naturally malevolent planets do not bode well for his ability to deftly handle or turn around a dismal economic outlook. But they do tend to point to his winning the election, because that is what he's likely to face if he becomes president. McCain, on the other hand, is going into such a powerful and positive period that it does not seem to truly reflect what is unfolding in America for the coming president. Further, there was already an attempt on Obama's life when 3 white supremacists armed with rifles and bulletproof vests tried to get into the Democratic Convention in Denver and ostensibly remove Obama from the picture. Many such people cannot conceive of sharing a restaurant with black people, let alone having a black man at the head of their nation. The Jupiter-Mars period, as well as the Jupiter-Rahu period, both indicate real danger for Obama. The tangible possibility of another attempt on his life cannot be ruled out at that time. In conclusion, it seems once again we have candidates who have some religious affiliation, but no real spirituality. The sea change in politics and government that the people want and are always hoping for can only ever arrive with the advent of a truly spiritual and enlightened leader, an initiated soul. Once again, I do not think this is truly available in this latest election cycle. So it will likely turn out to be partisan politics as usual. So that's that. So we'll see if I'm right or not.
The election you don't want to win.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to win this election. You don't really want to step into this. Because the mess, look at the mess now.
So like, whoever is around himself
right in the middle of it. And then you're supposed to fix it. Assuming if you fix it, well, then you're the Messiah. If you cannot fix it, and it's something that's going to have to play itself out, it's not like you can just come in there and pull a couple of strings and it'll work. If you cannot fix it, then you are part of the big problem, are you not?
Yeah. So it's like it is pre-death.
Well, it is and it isn't.
Or is it just coincidence of his...
There's always free will. Okay? You came here tonight. You didn't have to. You could have stayed home, or you could have gone to 10 other places. Alright. And you could have done all kinds of different things. Right? And it would have unfolded your destiny a little bit differently you know, in most cases, it would just be a neutral experience. You go, you'd have it, and then you go home. Because mostly in life, it's, I'm not saying it's not formative experiences, but they're mostly neutral.
Mm-hmm. But karmically, would you still go through your karma for that life?
Yeah, but you will go through your karma, but you do have choices.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, if you pursue your career and you never get married and have kids, then on the one hand, you can say, well, I fulfilled myself in my career. And that, but maybe at some point you go, oh, yeah, gee, but I wish I would have gotten married now and have kids. That's how I feel now, for example. Mm-hmm. You see. So that's a choice. And the next person gets married and has kids. And then she's bummed out later on. Oh, I never had a shot at my career because I was burdened with these kids. So,
but just feel like that, like Obama seems to be the
best. Well, for those reasons, you know, yeah, that's why I see normally they when people do these kinds of analyses, they normally don't point to the planetary periods coming up in the presidency and saying, well, this is what's coming up. Now, does this give us an indication of whether the guy will win the election or not? And that's what I think. I mean, I called the last one correctly. Everybody was saying John Kerry would win. And I said, and I only published my prediction about a week before the election. And it's like all hell fell down on my head. Oh, all kinds of people emailing me. How dare you say that? All these great pundits and sages in India, astrologers way better than you have already proclaimed Kerry the victor. How dare you say that Bush will win? You know, this kind of stuff, you know, real animus. Because these people were attached to Kerry winning. They weren't just trying to say what, there's no objectivity. You know, so I didn't respond to them because it was only a week until the election.
Did you get any
out? Oh yeah. Well then, you know, after then in came the glory. You know, oh, you called it. You were right. You know.
You're like, oh, last time.
Yeah, last time. You know, I wouldn't respond because I absolutely knew that Bush would win. So I just thought, I'll wait a few days, let him win, and then it's less of an uphill climb for me to say anything.
Yeah, rather than try to defend your...
Yeah, I didn't want to do that.
Your choices, like, this is a hard one, though.
Well, this one's very close. Well, that one was close, too, though. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll see.
Second in command, they're coming to a little...
I looked at both of theirs, and they're both in real good periods. It's very interesting today, or yesterday, one of my clients called from New York, and she said, I was doing my blog, she does some sort of blog on the internet, and she said, and she's a very, you know, rooting for Obama to win. She's very happy that, you know, Obama's going to be the next president. And she said that, and she's also quite psychic, so something came over. And she had this very, very powerful feeling and or vision that it wasn't Obama, it was Joe Biden. Joe Biden was in office.
Vice President.
Who's the Obama's running mate.
Yeah.
Which means that something happened to Obama and the vice president. Pardon? Well, it's interesting because I was writing this and
she called
and said that. I said, oh, well, then you might be interested in, let me send you this. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, whatever her name is.
Chamunda is an aspect of Durga. Yesterday was Durga Puja, or the day for worshipping Durga. Durga is the material energy, or Maya. illusion. And we are all under the grip of Maya. If we believe that this world is our reality, that these bodies are the greatest reality, then we are all under the influence of Maya. So that's Durga's energy. It's called the external energy of God, the material energy, as opposed to the internal energy of God, the spiritual energy, which would be more like Lakshmi or Radha, the internal energy. And Durga, you know, essentially is there to dismantle the ego. And, you know, not only are you illusion thinking this to be the all-in-all, and finally you're just put into the ground and you're dead. You're killed off. She's warrior woman, Durga. And then she has these various aspects of her, like Kali and Chamunda and Tribhuvaneshwari and
Bhairavi
and these mad destructive women.
Skulls
and bones and, you know, knives and heads and blood dripping and, you know, these kinds of aspects, the ghastly rasa, the ghastly mallow.
Putting everyone into line.
Yeah. So there, a few days ago, about a week ago, was it the Punjab in India? They were all going to this Chamunda temple. You know, and it would be like these, like Goddess Kali and people like that. They would offer, you know, alcohol. And they would do animal sacrifice, even human sacrifice. They would offer to the gods. I mean, this is, we're talking about tamas, mode of ignorance,
but
darkness.
It's acceptable too, because there's different Vedas for different levels.
Yeah, so that it can be done. I mean, just it's kind of along the lines also of satanic worship, where they you know, kill something and they offer it to Satan. And they will get some results for that. Or in the Old Testament, they'll kill the lamb or the goat or the sheep. So animal sacrifice is there from ancient traditions. But even human sacrifice would be sometimes done. In other words, a blood sacrifice. So, curiously, all of these people, I don't know, a few thousand of them, were going up a very steep incline to the temple at the top of a hill. The temple was a Chamunda temple, an aspect of Durga. And somebody slipped.
No, someone shouted somewhere about a bomb scare.
Oh, somebody shouted something about a bomb scare. There wasn't a bomb scare. And people panicked. And the crowd sort of collapsed on itself. It wasn't that they stampeded because they were on too much of an incline, so or decline. They collapsed on themselves, and people piled on top of other people, and 168 people were killed.
They were all men.
And they were almost all men. There's lots of women now. Well, why is that?
Durga's there to.
She's there to dismantle the male ego. And there was no blood. There was no visible injury because they were all. No, they were suffocated. They were asphyxiated.
So she had 160 odd offerings.
She had 168 dead bodies as an offering.
That was amazing. That she took those as offerings.
Yeah.
Of course, the people will get benefit from.
Because they were there. See, they were there to go to pray to make an offering to
benefit from her.
If you die doing a sacred act, or in a sacred place, or in the midst of, I mean, you want to die in the midst of prayer or meditation or chanting mantras or making an offering to the gods, that's what you want. And that's what these people were doing. You know. So I'm not sure exactly where their destination will be for these souls, but it's a very curious circumstance.
Unmarked man.
Lying in the streets, we saw in the photo.
Good.
And it's interesting too, because what caused it was no real threat. It was a false threat. It was an illusion. Mm-hmm. It was an illusion. There's a bomb scare. Oh, wait a second. No, there isn't. False alarm.
Ah,
it's it was the illusion within the illusion.
Yeah.
Okay, so early night.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Jai Shri Krishna.